Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What's up, guys? It's Candace Dillard-Bassett, and this is Undomesticated. Follow and listen to Undomesticated, available wherever you get your podcasts.
David is actively working on getting our guest for this next segment because it's a story you heard in the news. Our Taylor Rivera talked to the Minnesota State Patrol about driving while high. And we are hoping to speak with the Minnesota State Patrol and Sergeant Tyler Millis. We're hoping to get him. A little bit of a miscommunication, so if he jumps on with us, I will switch gears. But instead, I'll bring my 11:30 topic up to 11. Just a little full transparency here, what's going on the air. Have you ever been to a wedding that had zero alcohol? I always wonder what dry weddings do when it comes time to make a toast. I've heard anecdotally that it's not good luck to make a toast with water, but a dry wedding is something. Oh, see, friends, now David is giving me the double thumbs up, and he's telling me that I should revert back to the Sergeant Tyler Millis story from the State Patrol. So let's do that. I promise we'll talk about dry weddings. That's coming up at 11:30. Weddings without toasts. I'm not talking about bread toast. I'm talking about champagne toasts. That's next. But right now, I want to know the answer to this question. So if I'm driving high and I'm driving erratically and I get pulled over and I get a breathalyzer and clearly nothing shows up because I'm not drunk, I'm just really high, do they have to just let me go? Sergeant Tyler Millis is joining us from the Minnesota State Patrol to answer that question and discuss that conundrum. Sergeant Millis, thank you so much for joining us on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline.
Thank you for having me.
All right. So are you taking me to the pokey? If I'm high, but I don't test anything on the breathalyzer, what happens?
That's a great question, and we get it quite frequently. Law enforcement around the state are trained to observe impairment or clues of impairment, and that doesn't matter if it's alcohol, cannabis, or other substances out there. Impairment. So they will put that individual through standardized field sobriety the same way that they do alcohol. The only difference, like you said, is when they blow in a breathalyzer and it zeros, then what? What takes place is that the officers will get a search warrant signed by a judge and eventually get a blood or urine test, and then that gets tested by the Minnesota Bureau of Criminal Apprehension.
But doesn't that take a long time?
It can. The wait times are down quite a bit now. It takes about a month or two. But yeah, it does take a little bit.
Wait, but in a month or two, I'm not going to be high, so the pot is not going to be in my urine. Or you're saying they have to take the blood or urine test right there on the side of the road? They don't have to do that, right?
No, there's different circumstances. We have law enforcement phlebotomists that are actually law enforcement personnel trained to draw blood. We can collect urine as well. Sometimes we'll take the individual to a hospital where hospital staff will perform that blood draw. But ultimately, it has to be signed by a judge, a search warrant, and it is in a controlled environment. That's not something that will take place on the side of the road.
Okay, so I guess I'm still curious, and I'm sorry if I'm being dense about this. You pull me over. You know, like I pass most of the tests, or you suspect, but I don't blow anything on the alcohol on the meter. Do you just let me go? Do you take me downtown? And you're saying it could take a month to get that from a judge, what you need from a judge. So, like, what happens in the moment?
Yeah, so in the moment, you would be placed under arrest at that time based on that officer's probable cause. And like I said, that blood or urine sample would get collected. At that point in time, you typically get booked into jail, and then that process takes place. Typically, you're released, and then that complaint is pending until those results come back.
Oh, so you take me to the pokey because I'm driving erratically. You take me in to jail because even though you don't have, I'm not drunk, you can still take me in. Is that right?
As long as we have probable cause and you're showing those signs of impairment, yes, we can.
Okay. Now, are you seeing a lot of this? Are you guys doing a lot of this? Because that was a main concern when we legalized weed in this state. How are we going to test for it? How are we going to know people are not driving high? And if they're driving high, are they dangerous? Like, there's a lot we don't know. How is this all shaking out?
Yeah, that's another great question. It is. It's always been around drug driving. Drunk driving's been a problem, and it hasn't gone anywhere. And over the last few years, it really hasn't changed. It's stayed pretty stagnant as far as the numbers year to year go. What I can tell you is, yes, we are seeing cannabis DWIs out there. It is an issue and it is a concern. And there's a lot of confusion with it. When can people and can't people drive after consuming? And quite frankly, there's just not a good answer for it. It is so person dependent.
Okay, so is there a system in place for you guys, for the State Patrol, for Minnesota, to keep drivers safe? As cannabis becomes more prevalent in Minnesota, do you guys have a system for testing for this? I mean, other than what you just described, you know, taking somebody in if there's probable cause, do you have any other system that's in place right now?
To be quite frank, our best system is the Minnesotans and the other individuals driving out on our roadways. If we see something dangerous, we have to say something. You have to alert the authorities if you see dangerous driving behavior. And also, if you're somewhere where people are consuming cannabis, alcohol, anything else, make sure you stop that driver. Our best thing that we can do is stop it before it starts.
Talk to me about the high-tech oral swab kits that they're available for roadside testing, but A, are they accurate, and are you guys even using them yet?
Yeah, so we did a oral fluid pilot project. It sunsetted in February. That was legislatively driven, so that's when we had to stop that pilot project. What I can say is those instruments, they worked how we expected them to. We have since pulled them off the road, and that's because we had a report. We gave that to legislation, and now it's up to legislators to decide if that is something law enforcement can use or not. So right now we are not using them. But we have high hopes that they will come back.
Did you find them to be effective?
We don't have great data on that just because it was a pilot project. We couldn't use them for, we were simply checking the accuracy of them is all we were doing.
Okay. Recreational use of marijuana was signed into law by Governor Walz on May 30th of 2023. Can you give us a state of the roads since 2023? Is it worse out there? Is it getting better out there? I mean, anecdotally, I know you say you don't have a lot of data, but you're with the Minnesota State Patrol. What are you seeing in the 2 years since weed has been legal in Minnesota on the roads in relation to marijuana?
I can tell you, as far as the drivers and the public goes, there is a lot of confusion. And that's just because of the steps that were put in place. In 2023, it was legalized, but it could only be sold on native lands. And then from there, it went to now it can be sold anywhere in the state. So there's a lot of confusion on that. There's a lot of confusion on the packaging. So I can say that we have seen more violations of people having it in their vehicle improperly. And I can also just say, again, anecdotally, driving around, I smell it a lot more just driving driving around the state. So just with that being said, yeah, we're seeing more of it. And I truly believe that's going to continue.
I've seen it too. I got to be honest. You know, I'll pull up next to somebody and they are sucking on a joint. And I think that is so bold and disrespectful. And like, I wonder where, I guess they feel emboldened to be able to do this. I don't know if there are not enough people to pull them over, or they feel like they can just hide it, or they feel like they're going to get away with it. But I'm with you. I see a lot more of it too. And I just think it's very brash. I know that's not a question, so I'll ask you a different one. Unless you wanted a comment, but one of our texters said, ask him what the actual impairments are that cannabis causes. So share a little bit about that.
Yeah, I will comment on that first portion that you were talking about. And it is, there, you know, some of that could be just, again, people aren't educated enough of when and when they can't use, but also, When you're using cannabis, when you're behind the wheel, that's just completely dangerous, and it's putting other people's lives at danger. So it's like, what we ask is use it at home or somewhere where you're not in a car. Mm-hmm. If you want to use it, just don't get behind the wheel and endanger other individuals. Now, as far as the impairment goes, there's a wide variety. Mm-hmm. Kind of what I said earlier, is it affects people so vastly different. So one of the main things that it does impair is short-term memory. It can impair people's ability to balance, to walk, obviously driving. Mm-hmm. Multitasking is huge. When we talk about driving the car and you have to steer and look at the deer that just came out of the ditch and check your mirrors and hit the blinker, it affects all of that. It affects speech. It affects your eyes, your ears, really all of your senses. What it also does, what we have is what's called drug recognition evaluators that are basically the highest trained officer as far as impairment goes. And a couple of things that they do is take blood pressures and pulse. And what cannabis does, regardless of what strain, it increases your pulse and it increases your blood pressure. So there's actually a lot of stuff happening inside your body that people aren't aware of as well.
And all of these things, are you telling us that it makes it unsafe for you to drive?
Absolutely. Yes, 100%. Okay. When you're talking short-term memory, when you're talking the inability to divide somebody's attention, like if you think about how many things we do every second while we're driving, where our eyes are looking, what we're hearing, if we're doing blinker, brake, speed, accelerator, all of that at once, if we can't divide our attention to do those tasks, it makes for a dangerous driver.
And I know that we don't have results yet from those cheek swab tests. And this will be my last question. I know I've kept you too long. If it proves that those cheek swab tests are effective for you guys to use, you know, like roadside breathalyzers, are you worried there will not be enough money to equip you guys, the Minnesota State Patrol with that? Or is there money set aside for something like this to keep the roads safe?
You know, I don't have a lot to do with the budget that's done at a higher level. But what I can say is that there is support. I don't think there's any legislator at the Capitol that wants to see dangerous driving behavior out there. So I do know there is support. As far as the funding goes, I do believe that'll get sorted out when that time comes.
Fair enough. Sergeant Tyler Millis with the Minnesota State Patrol, I so appreciate you joining us and taking the time for this education today. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, and stay safe out there.
You got it. I mean, boy, that's a hard job, and it's so true. I have, been on the highway or pulled up at a stoplight next to somebody who's smoking a joint. I know I'm a rule follower. I know I'm a goody-goody and a baby, but that is bold. Bold, bold, bold. All right, David says, I need to take a break. I'm super late. I'll be right back.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews, or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Some of your texts on the Driving While High segment with the sergeant. Jor, driving high, 10 years in a North Korean prison. And I'm a Democrat. All right. 10 years in a North Korean prison is a little harsh for driving while high. Don't do it. Don't drive impaired at all. Ever. Again, I grew up in the era of Nancy Reagan. I am so afraid. And the MAD and dad, you know, mothers against drug driving, dads against drug driving. Don't ever do that. Go ahead, David. You want to jump in?
Well, I think the State Patrol is doing as much as they can. That's what I got from that interview. The other thing I got is that it's really hard to convict people or to catch people who are driving high. And if I was somebody who drove high, I would hear that and go, huh, as long as I'm not like super crazy, I'll be fine. They can't do it on the roadside. It takes a lot. They got to get a judge involved. As long as I'm, you know, kind of okay-ish, I think I'm going to be okay. And that's really concerning to me that drivers like that may feel that they can get away with it.
And while I have zero faith in our lawmakers, I do think, though, this is sort of an easy pass. Like, they need to have some sort of method of testing and then follow through. And hopefully, when they ever get back to actually doing their jobs, maybe you're shaking your head at me, but I think that, right, whatever lawmaker says, hey, let's create a system for this and make a budget for this and get these swab kits approved, I think people are going to go for that.
I mean, sure, maybe, but don't you think that's something they could have done before they legalized recreational marijuana in Minnesota or any time in the last 2 years since it became legal? I agree it should be nonpartisan, but look at what's happened. We're 2 years into this and many years of speculation before it was legalized in this state. And people like me and you and Adam and many others said that whole time, sure, legalize it, but how are we going to address this and this and this and this? And driving was one of the big things. And they never addressed any of those issues before they made it legal. And here we are 2 years in and the State Patrol is saying we still, you know, have a system, but it's difficult and lengthy to actually catch people. And I think it's a big miss. Like, I'm fine with marijuana being legal, but I think it's a big miss that we have not done a better job in this state of figuring out how to make sure people on the roads and in other places, you think about heavy machinery or people that take care of our kids or other things like that, those issues need to be solved too. Like, I don't want somebody high operating a crane or like teaching in my kid's school or something like that. And it feels like we are late to the game on trying to figure out how to keep Minnesotans safe to all those issues.
I'm just going to roll back the tape to the part where I said I have zero faith in our lawmakers. And I feel like that's just where we are right now. Like, okay, we passed pot, but we still don't know how to regulate the driving. Whatever. Again, good luck to us, right? And this is on us. It is the people who we elect that are impotent. Paul, our friend in Coon Rapids, says every time he drives through Minneapolis, he has to roll his windows up and close his vents. The city smells like pot. Paul, maybe some parts of it do. I'm down there a lot. I don't know that it smells like pot, but, you know, people are definitely taking advantage of the legalization of marijuana. Cell phones while driving hasn't gotten better either. I know that's still bad. Also, I totally understand all of this. There are many states that are using the swab test. Yeah, but not us because oh, I'm sorry, we're not actually legislating in the state. Get your act together, get back in business, legislature, and start passing laws. It is 11:30. I did promise you a segment on dry weddings. Really? No toast? No champagne toast is happening at these weddings? Also, Christy asked me if I watched John Oliver this weekend, who took to task my goddess, my queen, Barry Weiss. I did. I will chime in on both of those things. But really, have you ever been to a dry wedding? And why are Gen Zers opting to have this? Let's talk next. They're liars, I say. They're lying. Nearly 49% of adults ages 18 to 29 say they never drink alcohol. Really? Half of adults 18 to 29, well, maybe not 18 because they're kids, never drink alcohol. Wow. In comparison, 37% of 30 to 44-year-olds and 36% of adults over 45 say they never drink. Never? Never? You don't have a toast on at somebody's birthday party or at a wedding? And this is in relation to weddings, because this trend of dry weddings is taking off with Gen Zers. Gen Zers are saying, and these are the reasons, and tell me if you agree with this or you're seeing more of this. Gen Z is a little young to get married, you know, if they're under 29. But let me know what you think. That because of a personal preference, there's a history of alcohol abuse within their families or their partners' families. That there are cultural or religious beliefs attended by dry weddings. Or there is a cost reduction that they don't want to have a bar or even, I guess, a cash bar because of the fee. They don't want to make others pay and they don't want to pay. This is why people are having dry weddings. It's a conscious decision for them to have dry weddings. I've never been to a dry wedding. You know, I've been to weddings where there's a cash bar, certainly not an open bar, but like if you wanted a drink. And then most of the time, at even a wedding that has a cash bar, when it comes time for the best man's toast or the parents are making a toast, maybe they'll say, like, we have bottles of wine, pour yourself a bottle of wine, or some of the servers will pour you a little champagne so you can make a toast. And I think that's lovely. That's fine. You can put it to your lips. It's okay. Or, you know, if you're not a drinker, you don't have to drink it. You can have a Diet Coke or whatever. But I think that's okay. I personally have never been to a wedding that was consciously dry, where people said, this is our religion, we don't believe in alcohol, or we don't have the money, so we're not doing it. I haven't been to one that is a dry wedding. My cohort, David, on the other hand, has said he's been to many. So is this true?
It is true, and I think we're okay. Rolling back the curtain a little bit that and, you know, you and I are in different social circles, right? Like our religions and circles and communities are different. I bet half the weddings I've been to are dry. I bet half the weddings I've been to have alcohol and half have zero, none at all.
Why?
Because they are in communities where drinking is either, you know, frowned upon for religious reasons or just not part of the culture at all. I've been to weddings that are in the morning, where it's held at church and we have a luncheon afterwards, or just a cake reception. I've been to small weddings that are out at a park that maybe don't have any alcohol. I've been to weddings that, you know, maybe they have a ceremony and then maybe there's a different party later that might have alcohol, but the wedding itself doesn't have any. And this doesn't surprise me at all. I think there is certainly this culture of let's have a big party and a dance and an evening, you know, all evening type of wedding. And that's much, much more rare, having sort of that traditional, like, evening dance, big party wedding without alcohol. That's pretty unusual. But I've been to plenty. Like I say, maybe half the weddings I've been to have had no alcohol.
I guess I don't get invited out that much.
Or you're just you're just in a culture and a generation that drinking was central to life. Like, there is alcohol every weekend served at your house. is my guess.
Well, because we have a blessing over, we bless the wine on Shabbat. Yes, absolutely. You bless the wine. You literally have a blessing and you get a drink of the blessed wine. 100%.
I grew up in a household where there was alcohol served once a year at my house, where holidays did not contain alcohol. Not that they, you know, it wasn't like morally abhorrent necessarily in my house, but it just wasn't part of our culture. And I think there's a huge swath of America where that's just the case, that it's not part of everyday life.
I also grew up in a household like that as well. My parents are not drinkers, Pam and Jeff. They still don't drink. And we didn't, there was never alcohol in the house. If we had a liquor cabinet, it was from something that my parents were given on their wedding, for their wedding, like in 1968, that had dust on it. But yes, we always had a little bit of wine when we lit the candles and we blessed the wine. It was for a religious ceremony. That's how it happened in my house, where that's the time we had wine. We used it for religious ceremonies. So, But weddings are celebratory, I think. And sometimes you make a toast, or there's multiple toasts or things like that. So I guess I always think they're at a celebration, you'd have some champagne.
Yeah.
And you would make a toast. And that kind of, and maybe it is generational. You know, that my generation was more, you have a big wedding and it's a huge celebration. And it's more of a community event where whole communities are involved. And it's a lot of people that come to celebrate the couple, and you really open it up, not necessarily some small weddings. It's in Judaism, a wedding is more of a communal event.
Yeah, sure.
So you do invite a lot of people.
Okay, so what would you tell one of your children if they came to you when it's time for them to get married, if they want to someday, and they said, hey, we're going to throw a wedding. Here's our plan. Maybe it's going to be an earlier in the day thing with a lunch reception, and we're going to choose to, you know, just because it's a lot of money to provide alcohol and we're not really into it that much, so we're going to choose to not have any alcohol. What would you tell them?
Honey, whatever they want for their wedding is fine with me.
Okay, so even though you've
I don't have a problem with
that. Even though you've never been to a dry wedding, you'd be fine.
My kids wanted a dry wedding, of course, that would be no problem. But with the caveat that we're Jews and we make a blessing over the wine, and there will be a blessing over the wine at that point.
Yeah.
And, you know, I would ask them if it was okay if there were champagne for people that I would pay for people that wanted during a toast. Because at our weddings, you know, often a toast is made not only by the best man, but also the parents of the bride or groom. The bride and groom can say some words if they want. You know, there are toasts, and some people like to have champagne with a toast. But if they said, absolutely not, that is abhorrent to me, I will not have any kind of, or, you know, like, let's say they married into a family where alcoholism was a problem. And they said to me, I need you to respect that. No problem at all. Except, obviously, the rabbi or whoever performs the ceremony or the grandpa would make the toast over the wine. That's non-negotiable. But not everybody has to drink that. Just the person who makes the blessing. Oh, my gosh. I don't have a horse in this race. I'm just surprised to hear it. And the reasons were most surprising to me, that they don't want to have it. And it's because that they grew up in a house where it was a problem, that people's relationships with alcohols were an issue. Also cost. I get the cost thing. I totally understand that. Or, David, you're saying that in some certain religions, I know the Muslim religion does not drink as well. And you're even saying it from a Christian faith background, that there are people there. Absolutely respect other people's faiths. That wouldn't be a problem for me either. But yeah, for the Gen Zers, other than cultural, it's cost reduction. And it's because they've watched people suffer with alcoholism. I guess either the weddings I've been to, people refuse to regard their alcoholism. They refuse to come to terms with the fact that there might be alcoholics among them, and they want to have it anyway. But I just think it's unusual. And because I've never been invited to a wedding that didn't either have a cash bar or an open bar. Let me take a look at the text line and see if anybody is chiming in on this. And yes, absolutely. Let's see. Because my parents, God rest them, were very religious, all my siblings had dry weddings, or what we called weddings, just as it was. We celebrated the bride and groom. We ate, we toasted with ginger ale or sparkling juice. Perfect. And that was it. The option of going out later happened, of course. And my parents never drank. Yeah, my parents aren't drinkers either. I wonder if it's that generation also, those baby boomers. My parents are not, and they're still today, not drinkers. Absolutely not. Jordana, both of my parents were alcoholics, so we had a dry wedding. It gave me great peace of mind knowing there would be no drama at my wedding. That's beautiful, and that's what you deserved. Whether you were the bride or the groom, you deserved peace of mind at your wedding to not have to worry about that. Completely respectable, and good job for you for honoring your parents. About 40 years ago, I knew a couple, this texter writes, that met at AA. Their wedding was at a facility with a bar, and you could buy a drink. However, for them and their AA friends, they had an ice cream bar, different flavors of ice cream and multiple toppings to choose from. Love that. Absolutely love that. Yeah, so lots of reasons for why. And I have a couple of friends that have been through the AA programs. I guess maybe they're a little bit later in life, so they were already married. Jor, small town, 1980s. Most receptions, including my own, were dry as the location was church basements. Fair enough. Wait, is that a bad thing, David? And educate me. At church, there's no, like, wine?
Yeah, correct. I mean, some churches will choose to serve wine as the communion, yeah. And some will choose, like, a grape juice or an alternative. But there are very few churches that would allow, like, a bar to be at the church during a wedding ceremony. Like, you could, you know, plenty of ceremonies and receptions happen in churches. I've never seen a church that would allow, like, yep, we're going to all tap the keg in the church basement. That's not a thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And this texter says also, years ago, wedding reception were in church basements, very small Scandinavian town. Okay. That is interesting. Someone said I'm just reading from the text now. This is fascinating. Thank you for this conversation. Jor, we served no alcohol at our wedding, which we had an early afternoon reception. There was a bar if people wanted it, and it all worked out fine. What's most important about a wedding is the couple and their commitment to each other. That is true, my friend. 63 years old, and I've never been to a dry wedding, this texter says. Four kids, ages 27 to 34, who have all been to dozens of weddings over the past decades. None were dry. Jor, the cost reduction doesn't make sense to me. Apparently, I've been invited to cheap weddings with no open bars. The family couple doesn't have to pay for booze if you don't have an open bar. Right. Right. If it's a cost thing, you know, maybe some of these Gen Zers would opt for a cash bar, but they're just opting out because maybe a lot of their friends don't drink.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What's up, guys? It's Candace Dillard Bassett.
And I'm Michael Arsenault. And this is Undomesticated.
We're putting it all on the kitchen table and inviting you to the function. Follow and listen to Undomesticated, available wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.